in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Please just go ahead and worship Him. Reference Him, honor Him from the depth of your heart. Sheli makonda sa prandeke poska paramande kila prandeke pa. He is the King of Kings. Sonde kila borakidas. He is enthroned in our midst. Enthroned upon our worship. Mando bosiga bagidas. Ronda sa prandeke pa.
Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your love, surround us. You're the reason we came.
We are gathered unto Him this evening. Gathered unto Him is the reason why we came. We have not come to see a man. We've come to encounter Him, encounter His love, encounter Him through His word, encounter Him through His spirit. Go ahead and begin to bless Him. Kabarunda sa brandeke po shalabadia. So marida sa brandeke pa. He said, unto Him shall the gathering of His people be. Manda boska brandeke po rakabadee. Randeke bo shila brandeke po. Father, we give you praise. Lido bakasatai. Now begin to ask the Lord to enlighten the eyes of your understanding, to open the eyes of your spirit, to flood you with the light of revelation, knowledge of His word, the rain of revelation. Let the eyes of my heart be flooded with light. Come on, go ahead and bless Him. Kido boko se pila kapate, randeke brundeske pura bagadaya. Kanda ba shapala taska brandeke po, la fredoska paliga badi, li frondoske tila bora badi, lefika brandeke po shalabata. Let your word come with revelation, with insight, with instructions. Man take bosha. Let there be tangible impartations of your spirit. As your word comes, manda pora sida, that which I don't know, teach me. That which I cannot see, show me. That which I don't understand, cause me to understand. Let there be an outpouring of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, insight, to grant us insight into mysteries and secrets. Ligo bakasa balatia. We receive grace, kondabaya, to walk in the Spirit. Libronda sabalida ka brandeke poskata. Thank you, Father. Lord, the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. Our eyes are open. Thank you for a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and a wise and understanding heart. We receive divine illumination. We receive divine insight. We receive divine instructions and tangible impartations to become what your word talks about. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, clap your hands, O ye people. Clap your hands, O ye people. If you are clapping for me, that is too much. But if it is for Jesus, it is too small. If it is for Jesus, that clap is too small. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in God's presence. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say welcome to church. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about this new apostolic teaching series, Walking in the Spirit. I'm telling you, this will bless you in a very special way. What a timely word. You see, God has always blessed us with a word in season. Hallelujah. A word in season. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. Walking in the Spirit. How important this is. How crucial. How critical this word is. Walking in the Spirit. Life is spiritual. First and foremost, life is first spiritual before it is physical. Life is 100% spiritual. The spiritual realm gave birth to the physical realm. God is a spirit, and God, a spirit being, created this physical natural realm, this physical world. Was created by a spiritual being, a spirit being called God. Am I communicating? The spiritual realm controls the physical realm. The physical seen world is subject to the unseen spiritual world. Monta kaba sofra hadela bo shaladia. Androboko sabalakidas. All that is seen came from the realm of the spirit. What you see is controlled by what you don't see with these optical eyes. Hallelujah. I said, this physical world you see is being remote controlled by an unseen, invisible world. We call it the spiritual world. So therefore, the spiritual realm is superior to the physical realm. The spiritual realm controls the physical realm. Nothing just happens in this realm. It is being programmed from the realm of the spirit. Nothing just happens. Things are made to happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. This understanding is very critical. I say this understanding is critical. It is life-saving. You use remote control to change channels of TV station. Just imagine those various TV stations are the happenings in this physical realm. The remote control is in the realm of the spirit. You use to control the happenings in this physical, seen, natural realm. Am I communicating? That's why you need to be spiritually minded. Hallelujah. You need to learn to walk in the spirit. If you want to walk in dominion over this realm, if you want to win in this life, you want to win the war of life, you want to walk in dominion in this physical realm, then you must learn to walk in the spirit. Am I communicating? This is very, very important. Christianity is a life in the spirit. Christianity is not a life in the flesh, it's a life in the spirit. The Bible says, Galatians 5:16, "This I say," Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, "walk in the spirit." Let me tell you about walk in the spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I want you to take note of this construction. Take note of the order. It says, "Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In other words, the Spirit of God, through Apostle Paul, is trying to convey a very powerful principle here. He said, if you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, he said, walk in the Spirit. Did you notice he didn't say, struggle not to fulfill the lust of the flesh and then walk in the Spirit? Did you note the order? Which one came first? Walk in the Spirit. And if you do the first one, the second one will not be an issue. See, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not struggle with the lust of the flesh. You'll be able to easily tame the works of the flesh. You will tame the lust of the flesh. You will not gratify the desires, the cravings, the longings of the flesh. He said, if only you will walk in the Spirit, you will not satisfy, you will not gratify the desires, the lust of the flesh. Because so many Christians are struggling with the lust of the flesh, but they fail to follow this simple order. Look at the order. They fail to follow this simple scriptural injunction. He said, walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not, tell your neighbor, you will not. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the other way around is also true. If you fail to walk in the Spirit, you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you seeing how this thing works? That's how it works. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not yield to the cravings of the flesh. But if you fail to walk in the Spirit, then the flesh will have its way. You will end up fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So what does that mean? It's very simple. Anytime or every time you see yourself fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the diagnosis is simple. You are not walking in the Spirit. It's as simple as that. Anytime you see yourself struggling with the works of the flesh, it means you are not walking in the Spirit. Because if you are walking in the Spirit, you will tame the flesh and its cravings. Am I communicating? You will not yield to the desires of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the flesh. You deaden the transactions of the body. Am I communicating? Let's move. Verse 17. He said, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. This looks like a war. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So, this is part of spiritual warfare. You know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, some people think it's just fighting demons. Look. This is part of spiritual warfare. Living the crucified life in Christ. Taming the flesh. Am I communicating? It's part of spiritual warfare. He said the flesh lusted against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. Am I communicating? It's part of spiritual warfare. Crucifying the flesh. Living the crucified life is part of spiritual warfare. Mortifying the transactions of the body. Deadening the transactions is part of spiritual warfare. Am I communicating? Walking in love is part of spiritual warfare. For instance, if somebody offends you, annoys you, abuses you, your flesh, what's usually the natural response of your flesh? Talk to me now. What's the natural? Somebody abuse the hell out of you, like as in get you so offended, annoys you. What does your flesh want to do at that point? Revenge. Give them back. Water. And you know, that's what the flesh wants. But the Bible is saying, you need to walk in the spirit so that you can tame the flesh, so that you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Am I communicating? So that you will choose to walk in love. Somebody annoys and abuses you, you choose to forgive the person. The person offended you, you choose to exercise your conscience void of offense towards God and men. You choose to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. It is part of spiritual warfare. You don't know that walking in love is suffering to the flesh? You don't know? It is suffering to the flesh. People will even call you a fool. Now you dare slap like this? They dare slap you. My brother, you see stars? You don't go do anything. You be mumu, dokpemu, or dead. People will even abuse you for not retaliating. Your flesh wants you to retaliate. Your flesh wants you to revenge. But if you are walking in the spirit, you choose the higher way of love. You choose the most excellent way of love and forgiveness. Just like Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. To the people that were crucifying him, they were nailing him to the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Because Jesus was walking in the spirit. He didn't allow his flesh to have the better of him. Tell your neighbor, I choose to walk in love. I refuse to be offended. So I said, crucifying the flesh and living the crucified life is part of spiritual warfare. Did you hear what I just said? I said it is part of spiritual warfare. It is part of spiritual warfare. Okay, we'll come back. Let me read something Apostle Paul said. In Galatians 6, verse 14, we'll come back to this reading. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. But, no. Some of you are sleeping. Let's read now. 1, 2, 3, go, like soldiers. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's the life of a believer. The world is crucified unto me. I am dead to sin. I am dead to all those cravings of the flesh. Am I communicating?
Living that crucified life is part of spiritual warfare. Walking in love is part of spiritual warfare. Am I communicating? It says the flesh lust against the spirit against the flesh. Let's continue our discourse. Galatians 5, verse 17. It says, the flesh lusted against the spirit. And by the way, when we say the flesh, what do we mean? What do we mean by the flesh? Praise God. What's the meaning of that word flesh? The Greek word is sarx, S-A-R-X, sarx. Let me read out the best definition I saw for the flesh. Now, listen. There are so many meanings of the flesh, okay? In some contexts, it means your body, okay? But it is just beyond your body. It's not just your body. In this context, the flesh means, listen, the flesh denotes the mere human nature, comma, the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. Let me take it again. The flesh, comma, denotes mere human nature, comma, the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. That's the natural earthly human nature minus the divine influence of God's presence. Am I communicating? The earthly human nature devoid of divine influence. Of course, it will be prone to sin, true of us. Of course, it will be opposed to God, true of us. Am I communicating? So that's what we mean by that word flesh. So it's beyond just your body, okay? It is talking about that unregenerated human nature. You know your body is not born again, ba? Eh? That's why when somebody slap you, your hand too, they do like this. It won't slap back. Praise God. So the flesh is referring to the unregenerated human nature, devoid of that divine influence that the presence of God brings. Okay? The flesh lusted against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Am I communicating? You need to understand how the human body, how human beings operate, you see. You need to understand how humans operate. You don't just do what you want to do, okay? You need to understand how it works. It starts first with your thinking, okay? Then your emotions follow, okay? Then your will is the last part that comes in. Am I communicating? I say it starts with your thinking, followed by your emotion, then your will finally execute it. So now watch this. If
You want to eat shawarma, for instance. You want to eat shawarma. Your mind starts thinking of shawarma. Have you? Some of you, your mind is already thinking of shawarma. Somebody is thinking, may God bless me with money. All those testimony of me, a lot. Go and eat shawarma after service. You know, now as your mind is thinking shawarma, now watch this. You now start having the feelings, your emotion. How, when you eat shawarma, how does it make you feel? The sweetness. Am I communicating? Your feelings follow your thinking. Your feelings follow your thinking. So here is a principle. If you don't like how you are feeling right now, change what you are thinking about. Anytime you are feeling discouraged, you are feeling depressed, you are feeling unhappy, is because you are thinking something that is making you feel that way. You are thinking in a negative light. Am I communicating? So for you to change how you are feeling, you need to change what you are thinking. Analyze the content of your thought. Is it in line with the word of God? Am I communicating? Let the word of God guide your thinking. Let the word of God be your thinking syllabus. So here is the principle I was trying to explain. Your feelings follow your thinking. And when you start feeling, you're having emotion about that thing, it becomes so strong that your will will now hook up to your emotion. And then you end up doing it. You now go and buy the shawarma. Are you seeing how this thing works? You see how it works? But watch this. The problem is, when you want to eat shawarma, but your thinking and your emotion are not in line, it will be a struggle getting the shawarma. Are you seeing the problem? When you want to eat shawarma, but your thinking is not in support of eating the shawarma, and your emotions, therefore, is not in support of eating the shawarma, your willpower at that point will be weakened. So that's what this scripture is saying. Are you seeing something? It says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What you wanted to do, you did not do it. You wanted to obey God's word. Am I communicating? You wanted to do God's word, but because your thinking is not in line and your emotions is not in line, it becomes a struggle. Am I communicating? But if your mind was dominated by God's word, if you were thinking the word, thinking in line with the word, to the point that your emotions is now hooked up, you now having the feeling of doing the word, it will be easy for your will to now hook up, and then you end up doing it. Am I communicating? Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in his body. The soul has three components. There is the will, what we call faculty of making choice. Okay, the willpower. God created man with a free will. With your will, you make choices and decisions. And decisions decide destiny. Okay? Choices have consequences. You are free to make your choice, but you are not free to stop the consequences. They come together. Am I communicating? Man has a soul that has three components. Number one, the will, with which you make choices and decisions. Number two, emotion. Okay? Emotion. With which you have feelings. You feel with it. Then the third one is your mind. or your intellect. With your mind you think. With your mind you make rational decision. You analyze, you rationalize, you think, you imagine. Am I communicating? The intellect and imagination, they are all in the mind. Am I communicating? So, simply put, the thinker, the feeler, and the chooser. Which one is the thinker? The components of the soul. Which one is the thinker? The mind. The feeler, emotion. The chooser, the will. Now, the way God have designed the government of the human body, government of man, this is how God have designed the government of man. The spirit, this one is talking about, that's for a born again Christian, your reborn or recreated human spirit. Okay, this is the one. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. This is the one. When you got born again, it was your spirit that became a new creature. Am I communicating? It was reborn, created in righteousness and holiness. God has designed that. The government of the man in Christ is, it should be like this, okay? The spirit man should be in charge, okay? The spirit man should control the soul, and then the soul will in turn tell the body what to do. Your body does not think. The body is like a slave. See, the body does not have a mind of its own. The body does not think. The body is like a slave that executes whatever has been decided by the soul. Are you getting my point? I said the soul has three parts, right? Three components. There is a will, emotion, and the mind, or some people call it intellect. Now watch this. This is how God have designed the government of the man in Christ. It is your spirit, what the Bible calls the inner man. Apostle Paul called him inner man. Apostle Peter called him the hidden man of the heart. Okay, that should be in charge. Which one should be in charge? Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in his body. The spirit should be in charge. The spirit is designed, your spirit is designed by God to dominate your soul and your body. Your spirit is designed by God to control your soul and your body. Am I communicating? That's why you need your spirit to be strong and healthy, to be robust and strong, so that it can do its work. When we say somebody is a spiritual man, what it means is that a spiritual man is he that his spirit is in charge. His spirit controls his soul, and his soul in turn controls his body. The spiritual man does not follow the leading of his soul or his body. He follows the leading of his spirit. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit leads him through his spirit. Am I communicating? He is led by the Holy Spirit, and his soul follows the order and the dictates of the spirit. and then the body execute whatever has been decided. Finally, he is ruled by his spirit. He is ruled by the Holy Spirit through his reborn human spirit. He is not body ruled. He is not soul ruled. He is spirit ruled. Then the spirit will now transmit the information to the soul, then to the body. But who is a carnal Christian, a carnal believer, a carnal man? A carnal man is born again, but watch this. He is ruled by his soul or his body instead of his spirit. That is a carnal person. He walks in the flesh. He fulfills the lust of the flesh, though he is born again. He manifests the works of the flesh as if he is not born again, though he is born again. That is a carnal person. So I just told you about, number one, the spiritual man. This one is born again and is spirit led, controlled by his spirit. The second man is carnal man, is born again, but is ruled by either his body or his soul or both, but is not ruled by the spirit. Number three, natural man. The natural man is the one that is not born again. Of course, you know how you will be ruled. How will he be ruled? Eh? Soul and body. These are the three men Apostle Paul talked about. Hallelujah. So if you don't want to be carnal, you must walk in the spirit. Am I communicating? Let's finish our reading. Move on. For if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You are not under the law. Next verse. Move on. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are what? Which are these? These are the works of the flesh. Number one, adultery. Number two, fornication. Number three, uncleanliness. Number four, lasciviousness. Oh yeah, move on. Five, idolatry. You know, there are Christians that still worship idols. Born again, no? They say, Wanangado namune. Their father's inheritance. And yet they go to church on Sunday. Hallelujah. Carnal Christians. Number what? Witchcraft. Sorcery. Move on. Hatred. Can you see the works of the flesh? Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Rot. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Next verse. Envies. Murders. Drunkenness. You see them, brukutu joint. How can choir master be finishing one gora? Glory to God. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that we do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Actually, is faithfulness. That faith there is faithfulness. Long suffering is patience. Move on. Meekness. Temperance or self-control. Temperance also means self-control. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Next verse. And they that are Christ, oh, I love this. They that are Christ, do you belong to Christ? Are you in Christ? It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh in past tense. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Can you give me this in Amplified, sir? Thank you. Omar, okay. It says, they that have Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust and affection thereof. Those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature. You see the meaning of the flesh again. Godless human nature. The human nature outside of God's divine presence, outside of God's divine influence. It says, with its passions and what? Appetites and desires. Glory to God. Then 25. Mondabaya. If we live in the Spirit, Christianity is life in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Am I communicating? Let me tell you, noble. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26 and the last. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying what? One another. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not do all of this. So when you see Christians desirous of vainglory, they want to outshine the other. Desirous of vain glory. It's part of the works of the flesh, lust of the flesh, desires of the flesh, provoking one another, envying one another. Say he's de-shining my own shine. Is there anything like de-shining? You will see programs that they invited different guest ministers. The first preacher came and preached and left. The second one want to outperform the first one, as if he's preaching competition. Actually, the first speaker said this, but it's not exactly like that. Let me take you deeper. Praise God. You understand? No be competition. I say no be competition. Even gospel artists, is competition. And this one sang this song. I no go sing that song. It already singer. I'll sing my own way they never hear before. I must shake the whole place. I must carry first. Thank God Jesus has set unique races. He said, let every man run the race that is set before him. It's not the same race. Your race is not my race. My race is not your race. So there is nothing like carrying first. Am I communicating? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Right. Number one, to walk in the Spirit means to conduct yourself and regulate your life based on the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. To conduct yourself and regulate your life. Sir, you can bring down the volume. Bring it low. To conduct yourself and regulate your life based on what? The guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Number two, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to follow the leading and directives of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. To follow the leading and directives of the Holy Spirit in your everyday life. We saw it in Galatians 5:18. It says, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So part of our sonship right is the right to receive and enjoy the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every son of God, every child of God should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Luke 4:1, Jesus was led of the Spirit. Jesus, being full of the Spirit, after he was baptized at Jordan by John the Baptist, the heavens were opened, the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The Holy Spirit descended upon him like the way a dove would descend upon somebody, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then now, because he was Spirit filled, he was now led of the Spirit. Jesus, being full of the Spirit, returned and was led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So to walk in the Spirit refers to the Spirit led life. The Spirit led life. That's, you follow the leading and the directives of the Holy Spirit. Number three, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to walk in the light of God's word. To walk in the light of God's word. And the word of God is the wisdom of God in print. The word of God is the wisdom of God in print. The word of God is the voice of God in print. It is the voice of God in print and the wisdom of God in print. So walking in the Spirit also means walking in the light of God's word. Psalm 119 verse 105. That means you walk in the light of God's word. You live by the word of God. You follow scriptural instructions. You obey scriptural instructions, scriptural injunctions, scriptural guidelines, scriptural principles. Am I communicating? You are living your life based on scriptural instructions, scriptural injunctions, scriptural guidelines and principles. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walking in the Spirit also means walking in the light of God's word. Am I communicating? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. What does lamp give? What does it do? What does it give? Illumination, guidance, direction. Am I communicating? And a light unto my path. So you receive guidance and direction from the word of God. Scriptural instructions, principles, guidelines, injunctions. Praise God. Number four, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to walk in love. To walk in love. Praise God. To walk in what? To walk in love. Galatians 5:13. To walk in the Spirit also means to walk in love. Not to walk in the flesh. To walk in love. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Next verse. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can you see the premise upon which he made this statement? He was talking of walking in love. If you interpret it in context, he was talking about walking in love. Am I communicating? He said all the law is fulfilled in one word: love your neighbor as yourself. So walk, anytime you walk in the spirit, sorry, anytime you walk in love, you are walking in the spirit. Anytime you choose to walk in love, you are walking in the spirit. Anytime you choose forgiveness over revenge, you are walking in the spirit. Anytime you are offended or annoyed and you choose not to be bitter, not to harbor bitterness, malice, unforgiveness against the person or seek revenge, you choose to forgive and forget and let go of offense, you are walking in the spirit. Choosing the way of love, the most excellent way. Are you learning something? Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 5. It says, be ye therefore followers of God, so dear children, imitators of God. Okay, semicolon, next verse. Is it? And walk in love. And walk in love. The Bible says God is love, and that's your heavenly Father. If your Father is a love God, he said you too should walk in love. As Christ also had loved us and has given himself for us as an offering, as a sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling savour. Let me tell you about walk in love. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter in the Bible, you see so many things about love, so many nice things. In verse 4, give me in NIV verse 4 from 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Walking in love. Walking in the spirit means walking in love. Love is patient. Remember, patience is one of the fruit of the spirit. Love is kind. It does not envy. Remember, envy is one of the works of the flesh, true of us. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Next verse. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not keep any list. No physical list, no mental list. You know, there are people that keep record of wrong in their mind. You offended them, they forgave you, but they kept the record. You offended them, they forgave you, they kept the record. Until it has, they say, cup don't full. Then that day they will explode for you. Because they've been keeping the mental list of all the wrongs. If you abuse my father, I didn't say anything. You abuse my head, I didn't say anything. You say, my mouth they smell, I no talk. Now you abuse my grandmother. Even God knows I don't try. The Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. Next verse. Love does not delight in evil. Doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Next verse. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Am I communicating? Love, verse 8, we'll stop at verse 8. Love never fails. Tell your neighbor, love never fails. So if you walk in love, you can never fail. You always win. See, when you walk in love, you always win. Because love does not fail, it never fails. You may look like the fool for walking in love, but at the end, you must always win. You must win the fight and the battle. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But love abides forever. Am I communicating? When we get to heaven, there will be no need for prophecy. Prophecy is important in this earth realm, but the moment we are in heaven, who will you prophesy to? It's a realm in which you notice everybody will just know. Do you understand? You don't need to prophesy to anybody in heaven. You don't need word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You don't need tongues and interpretation. They are not necessary in heaven. They are only needed on earth. Am I communicating? But one thing that will remain forever is love. Love is there in heaven. Am I communicating? It does not run out of value. Doesn't lose its value. Praise God. I say praise God. No, when you go to heaven, no need for name and phone number. Praise God. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? The last one I'll give you. Number what now? We say number one, it means to walk in the Spirit means to conduct yourself and regulate your life based on the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we says walking in the Spirit means to follow the leading and directives of the Holy Spirit. That's living the Spirit-led life. Number three, we said walking in the Spirit means to walk in the light of God's word. We say the word of God is the wisdom of God in print, okay? You follow scriptural instructions, injunctions, guidelines, principle. Number four, we say walking in the Spirit means walking in love. Number four, huh? Then number five now. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To walk by faith. Walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith. The Christian walk is a walk in the Spirit. And how do we do it? We walk by faith. Okay? We are a faith people. Three times we were told in scriptures that the just, is it three or four times? The just shall live by faith. Four times the just shall live by faith. The righteous one, the born again Christian, is ordained to live by faith. We live by faith, we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amplified says, give us an amplified, not by sensory perception. Okay? We don't walk by the senses. We walk by faith. We regulate our lives, conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, with trust and holy favor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Hallelujah. So walk by faith. Walking in the Spirit means walking by faith. Galatians 5:6. Galatians 5:6. Hallelujah. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That even the faith worketh by love. Am I communicating? Love is the energy of faith. It is love that energizes faith. In the vehicle of faith, love is the engine. And if you know, if your engine don't knock, no journey, the car becomes useless once the engine has knocked. So faith worketh by love. So if you want your faith to be effective, walk in love. You want your faith to be active, productive, energetic, to produce results, then walk in love. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. God is a spirit, mind you. How do you walk with a spirit? How do you walk as a woman living in this human body? How can you walk with a spirit being that you cannot see with your physical eyes? Somebody say, by faith. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11:5. Let's see the account of the writer of Hebrew concerning this story. Watch this. He said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, he shouldn't taste death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Then verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now you understand how Enoch walked with God. He did it by faith. He walked with the spirit being called God by faith. So walking in the spirit also means walking by faith, like Enoch did. He so walked with God by faith that he pleased God. For without faith it is impossible to please God. So he pleased God by walking by faith, because God is a faith God. And God was so pleased that he was caught up and transferred to heaven. He was translated supernaturally, alive, spirit, soul and body. He was transported. He experienced private rapture. There were two people that enjoyed it in the Old Testament, Enoch and Elijah. Praise God. It was a type of rapture. He experienced a private rapture by faith. Faith is so powerful. Hallelujah. Now, why is it necessary to walk in the Spirit? Why is it important? Why is it necessary? Why should you walk in the Spirit? Number one, to know, discern, and to do God's will. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you won't be able to know the will of God, neither will you be able to discern the will of God. Therefore, you won't be able to do God's will. Am I communicating? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. Ephesians 5:15. So, walking in the Spirit, when you are spirit led, when you walk by faith, you walk in love, you'll be able to know the will of God. When you walk in the light of God's word, you will know God's will. And you'll be able to discern God's will, and you'll be able to do the will of God. Am I communicating? If you walk in the flesh, there is no way you will know the will of God, neither will you be able to do the will of God. Am I communicating? It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next, redeeming the time, or buying back the time, because the days are what? Are evil. 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Don't be, he says, don't be unwise. Walk in wisdom. He says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then next verse, how will you know what the will of the Lord is? Be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, when you are filled with the Spirit, you will understand what the will of the Lord is. Am I communicating? And to walk in the Spirit, you must be full of the Spirit. To be spirit led, you must first be spirit filled. Am I communicating? So this is the first reason why it is important, why it's necessary to walk in the Spirit. To help you know the will of God, to help you discern the will of God, it will help you to do God's will per time. Number two, why is it necessary to walk in the Spirit? To understand and fulfill or execute God's plans and purposes for your life. To understand and fulfill God's plan and purposes for your life. When you walk in the Spirit, it will help you understand and fulfill God's plan and purpose. You cannot fulfill divine plan and purpose if you don't walk in the Spirit. It's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot walk in the flesh and fulfill God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for your life. Impossible. It doesn't work. You must walk in the Spirit. If you want to fulfill your divine calling, walk in the Spirit. If you want to fulfill your divine ministry, your God-given ministry, your life assignment, you've got to walk in the Spirit. If you want to fulfill your divine destiny, You've got to walk in the spirit. Walking in the flesh will not pay you. It will rob you of God's plan and purpose for your life. It will rob you of your divine calling and your ministry. Am I communicating? Number three, why is it necessary to walk in the spirit? To tame the flesh. It will help you tame the flesh. All those works of the flesh and its lust, the lust of the flesh, it will help you tame them, mortify the flesh. It will help you to live the crucified life. It will help you live above sin. Do you want to live above sin? You want to live in dominion over sin? Then walk in the spirit. This is how you deal with the flesh. You tame the flesh and its cravings and its lust and passions. You bring the flesh under subjection. If you don't want to fulfill all those long lists of lust of the flesh, it's a walk in the spirit. So anytime you catch yourself manifesting any of those works of the flesh, what's the diagnosis? You are not walking in the spirit. You just stepped out. So what do you do? What should be the treatment? Solution. Start walking in the spirit, okay? Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. When you walk in the spirit, that scripture becomes your experience vitally. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because when you walk in the spirit, you dominate the body, you dominate your soul, you dominate and tame those works of the flesh. Am I communicating? Why is it necessary to walk in the spirit? To manifest the fruit of the spirit. If you want to manifest those fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, temperance, goodness, faithfulness that were listed in Galatians 5:22. If you want to manifest the fruit of the spirit, then you've got to walk in the spirit. If you want to walk in love, then you must walk in the spirit, okay? The fruit of the spirit is for character development. There is a difference between the fruit of the spirit and the gift of the spirit. Did you hear what I just said? I said what? There is a difference between what? The fruit of the spirit and what? The gift of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit, as the name implies, is a fruit that your recreated woman spirit bears as a result of its union with the Holy Spirit. As in, the Holy Spirit is what is empowering your woman spirit, your recreated or reborn woman spirit, to produce those fruit. And you know those fruit? What are they? What are they? Let's mention them. Love, joy, peace, all of that. The gift of the Spirit is a spiritual gift. It's a gift manifested by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit are those fruit that your recreated or reborn human spirit bear as a result of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in you. And because of the union of your spirit, the oneness of your spirit with the Holy Spirit. And we know those fruit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance or self-control, self-restraint. There is a huge difference between the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit are coveted. Apostle Paul said, covet earnestly. So they are coveted. Okay? A strong, passionate desire, longing. The gift of the Spirit are coveted, but the fruit of the Spirit are cultivated. You don't covet fruit, you cultivate them. You cultivate them over time. Am I communicating? Through fellowship with God, through His word, in prayers. So while the gift of the Spirit are coveted, the fruit of the Spirit are cultivated. Next, the gift of the Spirit empowers and equips you for effective kingdom service, for ministerial function. So the gift of the Spirit is for empowerment, empowerment for kingdom service, soul winning, ministry, etc., ministerial function, so that you can stand in your office and minister. But the fruit of the Spirit is for Christian character development. The fruit of the Spirit is to help you to cultivate Christ-like character. You assess and measure the maturity of a believer through the fruit of the Spirit, not the gift of the Spirit. The dispensing of spiritual gift is not a measure of Christian maturity. It's not a measure of character. It is a fruit that you use to assess and judge Christian character. So the yardstick for measuring Christian character is the fruit of the Spirit, not the gift of the Spirit. Am I communicating? I say it again. The dispensing of spiritual gift is not a measure of Christian character, but the fruit of the Spirit is a proof of Christian character. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? So, what is the fourth reason why you should walk in the Spirit? What is the fourth reason? To help you manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And do you know all those fruit of the Spirit? The summary is walking in love. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit is. It didn't say are. Galatians 5:22. Have you ever wondered why the Bible didn't use are? It says is love. I think it's Passion Translation that brings it best so far. Who has Passion Translation? Read it out. You understand it. All these other things, from joy down to the last one, they are all characteristics of love. The love of God. When you walk in agape love, there will be joy, there will be peace, there will be patience, all of that. That's why he says the fruit of the Spirit is. Who has seen Galatians 5:22 in Passion Translation? Protocol, give the person mic. I want you to hear how the Passion Translation puts it. It will bless you. Praise God. Yes, ma'am.
But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. In all its varied expressions.
Thank you, ma'am. Did you hear that?
Yes.
The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. And in all its what?
Varied expressions.
In other words, joy, peace, patience, all of that, they are all the varied expression of that divine love. Are you seeing something? Yes, ma'am. Take it again.
But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions.
Oh, yes.
Joy that overflows.
Uh-huh.
Peace that subdues.
Uh-huh.
Patience that endures.
Wow.
Kindness in action.
Mm-hmm.
A life full of virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Faith that prevails.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities.
Hallelujah.
For they are meant to be limitless.
Praise God. They are Hallelujah. Meant to be limitless. Come on, just appreciate Jesus. What a powerful. Thank you, man. So you get it. So see, there are no mistakes in the Bible. That's why the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. All the other ones are the varied expression of that love. Praise God. Why is it necessary to walk in the Spirit? To walk by faith. Okay? We've looked at that. To walk by faith. We say walking by faith is walking in the Spirit. You cannot walk by faith if you don't walk in the Spirit. Impossible. Can't walk in the flesh and walk by faith. It doesn't work. We walk by faith, not by sight. Why is it necessary to walk in the Spirit? Number six, to win the war of life. If you want to win the war of life, walk in the Spirit. If you want to win in life's battles, you want conquest, you want to be more than a conqueror, then walk in the Spirit. If you desire victory in spiritual warfare, you've got to walk in the Spirit. See, we live in a wicked world. We live in a wicked world. Make no mistake about it. You don't need to look for somebody's trouble for somebody to hate you. It's a wicked world because of the presence of the kingdom of darkness. The Bible calls it this present evil world. He says, have respect unto the covenant. The dark places of the earth are full of what? Habitation of cruelty. It's a wicked world. So if you want to win in spiritual warfare, you need to walk in the Spirit. You cannot win if you are walking in the flesh. Am I communicating? We heard of the unfortunate event that happened in Saints Academy Secondary School. How building collapsed. People died. People were injured. Some are hospitalized. You know. It's a wicked world. This morning I was surprised. I was just reading a news of how Donald Trump, one of the aspirants, the 45th U.S. president, and after Joe Biden came in after Donald Trump, right? Now Donald Trump is one of the aspirants. U.S. election is in November, and he's like the toughest opponent. He was in a rally in Pennsylvania when a sniper, young 20-year-old guy, shot him. Pua! The bullet was meant for his head, but thank God it turned. Oh my God, thank God it turned. I was just thinking, I watched the video, I said, what if it didn't turn? Who turned? Maybe angel just turned. You know, angels can do things. Angels can do things. I'm telling you, the thing was coming for his head. Just that turn, that was the lifesaver. Sustained some injury, but he's still alive. It's a wicked world. Presidential campaign. Politicians. It's a war. I remember that election. Steady is here. You know, for him to be Nuesa, right? President. That election, was it not war? He needed to walk in the Spirit. I remember I saw how he was praying. One day, I came for counseling. Nobody was here. I saw him lying on this altar, kabashing. This thing now war. Life is spiritual. You can't be casual in your approach. You end up as a casualty of war. Maybe you need to go and listen to my series on Peace FM, Winning the War of Life. Very powerful series that has been a blessing to people. Just go on our Telegram channel. So many parts. I've been on it for the past how many months? You know, I don't know. It should be up to more than 10 parts now.
Go and sit down with it. Life is a warfare. It's not a fun fair. You need to walk in the spirit if you want to win. Praise God. You heard the testimony of my wife, how she survived that bomb blasting. Just she was just around the shop. You need to be led by the spirit. Even as you are leaving your house, I was just thinking in my mind, I said those students that building collapsed on them, they left home that morning. They left home, say they are going to school just like any other day. Little did they know what Satan had planned. Life is spiritual. You need to be led by the spirit. Am I communicating? I heard the story of a preacher that boarded a flight. He was traveling, I don't know whether for a ministration or so. He was traveling. He just boarded the flight. His little boy, I think like 4 years or so, was with the mother. They saw him off to the airport and they were watching as the plane was running through the tarmac, and then the plane just took off. Then the little boy was with the mother. He just screamed and told the mother, he said, "Didn't daddy know that that plane will crash?" The boy spoke that way. The mother said, "Shut your mouth up." Few seconds later, the plane crashed. How did the little boy know? You know, children, their spirit are very innocent. They've not grown like you. So the many things will now come and numb your sensitivity. They can be very sensitive in the spirit, children. He said, "Didn't daddy know that that plane is going to crash?" He just said it. Few seconds later, there was a plane crash. Tell your neighbor, be led by the spirit. Before you go for any journey, make sure you are led. If the waters of your spirit man is ruffled, then calm down, pray first. If you don't receive clearance, forget the journey, postpone it. It's not by force. Am I communicating? Praise God. He said, "But I promise them I'm coming." I promise them I'm coming. My brother, be led by what? The spirit. You can call and apologize. It was you that promised. I love Bishop Oyedepo. He said if he doesn't get clearance, he doesn't go anywhere. He said if you invite him for ministration, you are not sure he's going to minister until he starts ministry. That the fact that he's even seated at minister seat like this is still no guarantee that he's going to minister. Because he said if he receives contrary signal, he will carry his Bible and leave. It has happened. Even on air, he's coming with his private jet. If he receives contrary signal, he will tell the pilot, "Make a U-turn. Let's go back straight." So he said he is not sure he's ministering until he starts ministry. See, the higher you grow, the more you will come to understand that the leading of the Spirit will save your life. I'm telling you, your entire life and destiny depends on it. Am I communicating? Bishop said, when he promises he's going to come, and he doesn't have clearance from the Spirit to come, he's going to call you back and apologize. He's not able to make it. Maybe some other time. It was me that promised that I'm coming. It's me. Because some of them will say, "But Papa, you promised you are coming." Say, "It was me that promised I'm coming. It's me that is telling you now that I will not be able to make it. I'm sorry." Praise God. I say, praise God. It's better to obey God. I say, it's better to obey God than to lose your life. Okay? Why is it necessary to walk in the Spirit? For the supernatural safety and security of your life, family, property, and destiny.
for the supernatural safety and security of your life, family, property, and destiny. For you to enjoy divine protection and preservation from all evils, calamities, and tragedies. Like I said earlier, the leading of the Spirit will save your life. It will secure your life and family for the supernatural safety and security of your life, your family, your properties, your destiny. That's why it's important to walk in the Spirit. Number 8. Why is it important to walk in the Spirit? To walk in the supernatural. And by the way, this is our month of the supernatural. I say this is our month of the supernatural. Do you want to walk in the supernatural? Then you've got to walk in the Spirit. If you want to function in the miraculous, walk in the Spirit. I round up with this. Important foundations for walking in the Spirit. Important foundations for walking in the Spirit. Number 1. Continually renew your mind with God's word. Continually renew your mind with what? God's word. Romans 12 verse 2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Use God's word to renovate your mind, renovate your thinking, renew your mind. Change the way you think. Subscribe to God's way of thinking. Acquire new mindsets sponsored by the word. Allow the word of God to brainwash you. Continually renew your mind with the word of God. How? Through habitual meditation, constant meditation. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So you allow God's word dwell in you richly by meditating on God's word continually, constantly. Hallelujah. You see, when your mind is not renewed, it's difficult to walk in the Spirit. It's so easy to be carnal. When you got born again, it was your spirit that became a new creature. Your mind is that same old mind. So your mind is like a computer. It has all the information of the old man that is gone, that has been crucified with Christ. So what do? You need to reformat it. Just like you reformat computer. There has to be a deprogramming and a reprogramming. You need to install a new software. Am I communicating? You need to use the word of God. Meditate on God's word. And imbibe the word. Let it replace and retrain your mind. When we say renew the mind, what we mean is that you are feeding your mind with the superior information from God's word. Superior thoughts coming from the word of God, information coming from the word of God, and it will go and displace and replace all those information that were in your unrenewed mind. The information concerning the old man will be completely replaced. You are replacing old thoughts with new thoughts coming from God's word. When you are renewing your mind, you are retraining your mind to think in line with your born again woman spirit. I say you are retraining your mind to think in line with the new man that you are in Christ, not in line with the old man. Because your mind was trained to think in line with the old man before. So when you are renewing your mind, you are retraining your mind to think now in line with the new man, your reborn woman spirit, so that you can walk in the newness of life. Am I communicating? You are replacing old way of thinking with new way of thinking based on the word of God. Tell your neighbor, renew your mind. Ephesians 4:23. So please be fully submitted to the authority of God's word. Accept God's word as final authority in your life.
Let the word of God be the final authority in your life. There are Christians that they will tell you when there is crisis or problem, they will say, leave Bible. Say, leave Bible. Moku, talk real issue. Leave Bible. Forget Bible. See, that kind of statement is already making a statement. A very loud statement. That the person has no regard for the word of God. The person is not submitted to the authority of God's word. That the word of God is not final authority over their life. They are not submitted to the lordship of God's word. That means their lives are not controlled and governed and ruled by God's word. May that not be you. I say, may that not be you. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Next verse. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. What's the second important foundation if you want to walk in the spirit? The second thing I will say is be spiritually minded. Romans 8 verse 5. Be spiritually minded. You've got to be more spirit conscious. You've got to be more spirit conscious than you are soul or body conscious. You know, there are Christians that are more body conscious. Then we have those that are more conscious of their soul. But true mature believers, spiritually minded believers, are more spirit conscious. If you want to walk in the spirit, you must be spiritually minded. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. We are after the spirit, we mind the things of the spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. For to be carnally minded is death. If you are carnally minded about any area of your life, it will attract death in that area. You are carnally minded about your finances, is death to your finances. You are carnally minded about your health, is death to your health. Carnally minded about your relationship, marriage, family, is death to it, to them. Are you seeing something? To be carnally minded is death. And I've told you what it means to be carnal. What does it mean to be carnal? To be controlled by your soul or your body, as in body rulership. You are ruled by your body. You are ruled by your soul instead of your spirit. Are you seeing something? Instead of the Holy Spirit that is indwelling your spirit. Say with me, I refuse to be carnally minded. To be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life, Zoe, and peace. Do you want to enjoy this new life in Christ? You want to enjoy peace like a river? Then do what? Be spiritually minded. It's easy to walk in the spirit when you are spiritually minded. You are mindful of spirituals. You are mindful of spiritual things. You are mindful of the things of the spirit. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. You are mindful of the things of the spirit. You are mindful of the word of God. You are mindful of the Holy Spirit. You are mindful of spiritual things. Not carnal things. Not mundane things. Praise God. Next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Can you see? The carnal mind is an enemy of God. Next verse. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can never please God if you are in the flesh. You can never please God by walking in the flesh. Am I communicating? You've got to walk in the spirit. And for you to walk in the spirit, you need to be spiritually minded. Next verse. But ye are not in the flesh. Hallelujah. We are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Hallelujah. Okay, let's stop there. Then, number what now? Important foundations for walking in the spirit. Number one, we say you've got to renew your mind continually with God's word through constant meditation. Then, number two, be spiritually minded. Number three, be filled with the Spirit continually. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit continually. Be ever filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Give me an amplified. It's a continuous process. The amplified brings it out better. You know, anything you are full of controls you. Eh? Have you seen real chattered drunkards practicing drunkards? Eh? How do they get drunk? Is it by taking only one bottle? Eh? Some can draw one crate and put leg on it like this until they empty everything. If you see a real drunkard, they don't buy one courier of brukutu. They will start pricing the whole randa. They are talking gallons here. Praise God. Praise God. I hear one funny story like that. I don't know whether it's true. That in Plateau, that one tribe like that wanted to do drinking competition with another tribe. Then they now sent emissary to the other tribe to find out. So when he came, the guy carried one gallon, finish it first. He said they should give him another gallon. They were welcoming him. He took another gallon. The other tribe were looking at each other. They now asked him that, are you one of the contestants? He said, ah, no. He said, him is not even qualified to be among the real contestants. Oh boy, the other tribe say, what? He said, if this guy did like this, how the real contestants go there? Say we give up. It says Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, that's alcoholic wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you must first be filled with the Spirit. Continually. You should live drunk in the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, be drunk in the Holy Ghost. Don't take alcoholic wine. Be drunk in the Holy Ghost wine. Be drunk in the Spirit. In Luke 4:1, the Bible says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Did you notice the order? He was first full of the Spirit before he was led. It's a principle. When you are spirit full, you are full of the Spirit, it's easy for you to be led by the Spirit. It's easy for you to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. Then, number four. The fourth foundation for walking in the Spirit is that you must be fully submitted to the lordship of the Holy Spirit. You must be fully submitted to the lordship of the Holy Spirit. You must be fully yielded to the lordship of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one thing to have the Holy Spirit, it's another thing to be fully submitted to his lordship. To be submitted to his lordship means you are living a life of absolute obedience, okay, to his voice and leading. You do his bidding. The Holy Ghost is not your boy. He's your boss. He's not your, you don't give him order. He gives you order. The Holy Ghost is boss. He's your Lord. Lord means master. Your job is to surrender to him. He knows the best. He has your best interest at heart. He's much more interested in your success and greatness than you can ever be. He knows the things you don't know. His wisdom to obey his voice. His wisdom to yield to him completely. His wisdom to follow his leading and promptings. So you must be fully submitted to the lordship of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can quench the Spirit. It's possible to quench the Spirit. When you habitually resist the Holy Ghost, you resist as in disobedience, you resist him. You understand? He wants you to do something, you resist him. You resist the Spirit. The Spirit can be resisted. It can be quenched. If the Holy Ghost keeps talking to you, you don't obey. You're always like stubborn. You are stubborn. You are disobedient. You are quenching him. You are resisting him all the time. You are quenching him. So, it is wisdom to be fully submitted to his lordship. Hallelujah. And then the fifth one, the fifth important foundation, which is the last. Yeah? Which one did I say is the last? The fourth one. The fifth one. Develop a strong spirit. Develop a strong spirit. Build a strong spirit. Luke 1:80. You need to build a strong and a robust spirit. God leads us through our spirit, so the state of our spirit matters a lot to our reception of his, our reception of his leading depends on the state of our spirit. Am I communicating? The issue is not that God is not leading us. The issue is your response and reception. And your response and reception to his leading depends on the condition of your spirit. It depends on the condition. That's why you must be intentional about cultivating, building, or developing a strong spirit. Am I communicating? You invest in developing a strong spirit. You sharpen your spiritual senses. You develop them so that you can hear God, so that you can receive his leadings and understand and interpret them correctly. And the child John the Baptist grew and waxed strong in spirit. You see that? Develop a strong spirit. John the Baptist, part of his growth is not just physical. The child grew, that is physical growth, and waxed strong in spirit, that is spiritual growth. Spiritual growth and development. Am I communicating? And was in the desert till the day of his shewing unto Israel. It will see, when you develop your spiritual capacity, when you develop your spirit and you grow and develop, it will sharpen your perception. It will sharpen your discernment. Your spiritual receptacles will become sensitive. It's easy to receive the leading of the Spirit. It's easy to receive those divine signals and interpret them correctly and respond accordingly. So it matters the condition of your spirit. Luke 2:40. Luke 2:40. Hallelujah. The child grew, waxed strong in the spirit. You see it again. Even Jesus, apart from John the Baptist, look at Jesus. The child grew. That is biological growth, physical growth and development. Work strong in the spirit. That's spiritual growth and development. Don't allow your spiritual growth and development to lag behind your physical growth and development, or else you will suffer from spiritual failure to thrive. FTT. Where are our pediatricians? F what? Spiritual failure to thrive. So as your body is growing, let your spirit be growing to match. Am I communicating? Jesus did not suffer spiritual FTT. The child grew and worked strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. How do you cultivate or develop a strong spirit? By meditating on God's word continually. Constant meditation. You study and meditate on the word. Number two, by doing God's word. You do God's word promptly. These are the ways you develop a strong spirit. You meditate on God's word constantly. You do God's word promptly. Number three, by praying abundantly in tongues. Praying in the spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, it will help you build a strong spirit. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, builds up himself, charges himself. Am I communicating? So on one end, you are feeding. Meditation is like eating and digesting and assimilating the word. You are feeding, nourishing your spirit on God's word. On the other end, you are praying in tongues to develop spiritual muscles and to build the word into you. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. Have you been blessed? And we just did introduction. By next week Sunday, we are going to go deeper. We'll start exploring how to walk in the spirit. How to walk in the spirit. Okay? How do we walk in the spirit? We'll take off from there. Now, I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to lift up your voice. You are going to pray. You are going to pray. You see, walking in the spirit is such a timely theme. It's so important. It's so important. The prayer is simple. Father, give me grace to walk in the spirit. Father, give me grace. The outpouring of grace. I don't want to walk in the flesh. I don't want to be led by the senses. The Bible says, Romans 6:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Jesus was able to fulfill his messianic mission because he walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Jesus did nothing except what he saw the Father did. He said, as I hear, I judge. As I see, I do. He was completely led by the Spirit. I want you to cry out to God, Father, the grace to walk in the Spirit. Let that grace rest upon me. Are you praying? Mande ke bosa balatia. Le brando boso brakatiska palatai. Embres kondosko brakida sa palatina. The grace to walk in the spirit. The grace not to be led by the senses. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ligras kombalakida. Embrekete. In every area of my life, in my finances, the grace to be led by the Spirit. In my business, the grace to be led by the Spirit. In my investment decisions, the grace to be led by the Spirit. Libaka sataya. In my family, in my marriage, the grace to be led by the Spirit. In my relationship, I receive grace to be led by the Spirit. In my spiritual life, in my ministry, in fulfilling my life assignment, I receive grace to be led by the Spirit. Labato seketina embrakatai. In my academics, I receive grace in all that I do, everywhere I go. In my job, in my career, I receive grace to be led by the Spirit. The grace to walk in the Spirit. Liba kondo brakataya.
And I want you to lift up your voice now. He said, I receive grace for divine sensitivity to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. I receive grace for divine sensitivity, divine sensitivity, divine sensitivity to the voice, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Grace for high level sensitivity, high level perception. La bata zeto la brakataya. In the name of Jesus. By God's grace, today is the last day of our 14 days glory and fire prayer and fasting program. And while I was praying this morning, afternoon, the Lord said we should ask Him anything. I don't know what issue has been bothering you. I don't know what you are trusting God for. I heard God clearly. He said, when I come today, I should tell the people that. He said, tell my people that I said they should ask me what they want me to do for them. He said, I will do it. Give me John chapter 14, verse 13. We are going to pray and make the man. I'm telling you, testimonies will come from this prayer. Am I communicating? I know when God talks to me. He said, tell my people to ask me what they want me to do for them. He said, I will do it. It's not your job to figure out how He will do it. Leave the how to Him. Doubt your doubt and believe God. Open your heart. You won't believe. Today, there were other small issues that I was even thinking about when I was praying. And then the Holy Ghost left all those issues. And He was telling me about AGMI, our own building. He was telling me. He said, He's going to give us our own land and building very soon. That was what He was telling me. Listen, that was what the Lord was telling me. And in the spirit, I started seeing the structure, massive and so beautiful. He said, the way He will do it, He said, He's going to surprise and shock us. He said, He's going to beat our imagination. See, leave the how to God. I don't know what issue you have. He said, tell my people to ask me what they want. Look at John 14, 13. He said, I will do it. He said, whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. We are going to make demand in that name, the name of Jesus. You heard the testimony of our sister Antonia the day I thought about the name of Jesus. Am I communicating? He says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. He says, ask, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Are you ready to make demand now? What is that issue troubling your mind? Now is the time. The Lord is about to give that stubborn, chronic problem final barrier. He said He will do it. Ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now lift up your voice and begin to make demand. He said, I'm the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? I'm the Lord God of all flesh. Liga baka suteke brendos kapakida. Eli fraponde siva bonde ketila. Aragabatia sapata tai. Ele frido sepeketena. Magapondo sabakata. He said, the Lord, yet in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defendi. Send the help from His sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. The Lord grant thee according to thy own heart desires. Liga baba barando boko sabalatai. Konda ba ya 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 ya. I want you to stretch forth your hands. Stretch forth your hands. I see multiple releases. Divine releases. Stretch forth your hands. As if you want to receive something. Because you will receive something. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Take your answers. Take your solutions. Everything you are trusting God for. receive your divine favor. Receive that supernatural open doors. Receive answers. Receive answers. That long-standing problem is over. That long-standing answer. Yakabagada gabragadai. Take it now. I said, take it now. Baleya, take your miracle now. Take your miracle now. Take your miracle now. Rande kebaya, things are working. Mandobo shalabada.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.